Ghost Beast!
Ghost Beast.
Ghost Beast!
A horror podcast. I'm Todd.
I'm Becca.
And we're on a mission to review every horror movie ever made. So stay tuned for a spoiler-free review and content warning, and listen after the timestamp in the description for our full thoughts, spoilers included. But join us today as we watch The Dead Thing from 2025. It's directed by Elric Kane. Looks like he's done a couple other features, but this is his first like horror movie from what I could tell. One of the new Shudder releases. This one like wasn't even on Does the Dog Die or those other websites, I guess, because people just haven't really seen it. So there are definitely some things we want to talk about in that sense, because we can kind of provide that service, and I think it's needed because this has some like pretty intense stuff in it.
Yes.
But we'll just say, I mean, the kind of pitch for this, and we said this while we were watching the movie, that it feels like they had this like one idea, which seems kind of obvious, which is like, what's wrong?
They're playing across the street.
Okay. I saw this man running with a baby carriage, and I'm like, what is happening? Sorry.
Stay with me. It wasn't on fire, was it?
No. Okay. But that is, that did enter my mind.
Because it centers on this lead character. The main character, Alex, played by Blue Hunt. She's like your typical, who's like Gen Z?
I guess.
Like she's kind of young.
Yeah.
She's on the dating apps doing this thing that I think a lot of people are familiar with. And she eventually matches up with this guy she has like an amazing connection with. Mm-hmm. And he ghosts her.
Yeah.
And then she finds out, he is. And I think that, I mean,
I feel like that's a spoiler, but also,
I don't know how to talk about the story in this movie because it's like there is something that's kind of revealed.
It's simple enough to just say it's a woman that is on dating apps and dating. It's like that environment, but there's some other like horror element to it, like in the broadest way.
That's the problem. And that's what makes this so hard is like that sounds like nothing. That's so vague. But I don't know, like I guess where I come from is like, I think the basic setup, which is kind of a little reveal, I think that's
what is the description for this? Hold on.
A summary?
So I looked up the plot summary and it says that she meets a guy who has a dark secret. So
imagine
there
that.
We go. Yeah. That's the setup. It's just, this is so stupid. Cause I think like, it wasn't some like crazy reveal.
No.
And I think it's like, it is this like, it's almost like a one sentence horror story, you know?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to cut everything I said before this about what it actually is. But when you watch it, you'll know what I mean. It literally is like a one sentence horror story that turned into an entire movie.
Mm-hmm.
And that part is not a bad thing. Cause I think it was a pretty clever movie in that sense.
Yeah.
This will be interesting. Cause I think we are coming from kind of opposing spots here because you really, I didn't love it, but I overall liked it. And I think you like really soured on it.
I think I did more so. Like, I think at the end of the movie, I was like, okay, that was all right. And then I think as I kind of sat on it overnight, I was like, I don't know. I'm just, what it did good, it did good.
Yeah.
But there are just some things that there was like a disconnect.
I don't think that we actually disagree. I think we're just a little bit opposed.
Because
I do think that this movie definitely has some missteps, especially in the ending.
Because
I'll just say, like, not to spoil the ending, but I do think
but
this is
are.
Worth talking about now. No.
Yeah.
We've mentioned on here, there seems to be a trend of horror movies that have, like, positive endings. Because especially if you're dealing with really, like, intense emotional, you know, more relatable topics, it's nice to have a more positive outlook at the end of it. It makes it feel more hopeful. And I think people are looking for that more.
Yeah.
And, you know, it is horror. So there is also the camp of having like a bleak, sad ending to really drive home the horror of the movie.
Well, I think it can work with the message.
Yes. But especially because this movie, we'll just say, it is very much about like abusive relationships. And that is like the heaviest thing that if you've experienced this and even just being ghosted by someone is something that's like I think we are recognizing how emotionally damaging that is.
Yeah. I think I would have liked it had it focused more on one thing. I think having those two things together did make it a little confusing.
It did a lot. And there were times where we were starting to get kind of lost and had to be like, wait. Like, who is this person? Like, it really does feel like it's kind of stretching things a bit. Mm-hmm. But it is dealing with some, like, very real emotional stuff. And I'll just say, like, yeah, it has a downer ending. Like, that's worth pointing out. And it's funny because I was surprised to see this was directed by a man. Mm-hmm. Don't really want to say anything too negative about that. It's not that big of a deal. It's more that we have been talking about how when you bring in, like, a woman as a director or a person of color as a director, you can see, like, this different attitude toward being, like, a little more sensitive to these things, you know? So, like, I'm not trying to be, like, misogynist out here or anything, but do you get what I'm saying? Like, I think there is an interesting trend there, and I'm not criticizing it.
No.
Just pointing it out.
No, and I guess it's worth talking about, but, like, I also agree that, like, if you're looking to showcase a human experience, it kind of makes sense to have, and it's not to say that not everyone experiences abuse, because everyone can. It happens. Yes.
This is about, like, a very specific type of abuse.
So. Yeah, the story is, like, catered to a specific timeline of abuse here within. I don't feel like fucking good. I really don't.
We're not. That's not what we're doing. We're just having fun.
I'm not looking to discuss the politics of it.
No, we don't. I'm just pointing it out.
I don't give a shit.
Just pointing it out because I think it's an interesting thing to think about and something I've been thinking about a lot with these recent movies we've been watching. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I'm glad to see this kind of shifting trend toward, like, more positive endings in horror.
Yeah, and I would say, I would argue it's not even that it has to be positive. I think it's specifically more, like, cathartic. Like, there's sort of, like,
that's a better way to put it.
Almost like a little bit of justice or something. I don't know.
Yeah, instead of just being like, well, fuck. Like,
yeah,
great.
That happened.
All righty.
Sucks.
Have you ever been ghosted? I feel like we all kind of have.
I don't know if I have. I don't.
Oh, my God.
I don't know.
Who could possibly do that to Becca?
No, I think I have.
Oh, shit.
Which makes me feel bad.
I've been on both ends of it, honestly. And yeah, it sucks.
Sorry.
I think you don't need. No, I'm not doing that. Don't do that.
Still.
Don't do that. No, but, like, it's interesting because it's something that I think sounds so silly. But it is, like, it's hurtful, you know? And again, I say that as someone who's been on both sides. Like, I definitely have ghosted people just because I was, like, I don't know, too cowardly to say it out front, you know? It can be, like, it can be tough. And you don't realize, like, how the opposite can be just as hurtful.
Yeah.
You know? So it's interesting. It's an interesting idea to, like, take that concept and turn it into a horror movie. I think there is definitely, like, something there that's very relatable. And that's kind of what horror does, you know? So that, I think the concept is very interesting for a horror movie and feels, like, very modern, I guess. But it does have a little bit of trouble covering some of these topics. I mean, isn't that what you were having trouble with?
Yeah. Where are we in the podcast?
We're still not spoiled. Okay. We're just wrapping up.
It showcases, like, abusive relationships. And I've, you know, unfortunately, I have been there before. And I wasn't expecting it. And I think that's fair to put in a spoiler-free section. Because if you have been, like, no matter who you are, if you've been in an abusive relationship, I mean, there's a pretty big trigger here that happens.
Yeah.
And it's striking when it does happen, which I do think is effective to the story. Since
it
the
does
message
a good job
there.
Portraying it, for sure.
I think
I'll
as
just say,
someone who's experienced it, I would have liked a little heads up.
That was what I was getting at in the beginning, that, like, it was hard to find the information online because the movie's so new. So I do think it's worth pointing that out to people because it's tough. That's the thing with horror that can be difficult is figuring out, like, okay, what is the tone of this thing? Like, what's in there? And you can only do so much to kind of, like, vet that yourself. Yeah. It's a difficult subject. I will say, people talk about Nosferatu being, like, a really horny horror movie.
Yeah.
That doesn't have shit on this movie. This movie is horny as fuck.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot happening.
Yeah, I guess that's another one. If you have problems with, like, nudity or sex in film, like, there's a lot of that in here.
Oh, yeah. I have noticed more people looking to, like, avoid that stuff, too.
Yeah, I think especially young people. Whatever, I mean, everything changes, right? Yeah. Shifting attitudes, it's normal. I mean, we were just talking about that when we talk about horror endings.
Yeah, I mean, like, you definitely don't want to watch this with your parents.
No. That would be insane.
Yeah, no. Don't do that. This is one of those movies that's like, don't. Don't do that.
But as a movie that is about, like, abusers as horror monsters, which is kind of what it is, it's interesting. It's an interesting concept, and it's just it's a concept that deals with very delicate subject matter and maybe doesn't always do the best job. But I don't know. It's hard. We can't really say too much more here without starting to spoil it. But we're both, like, fairly positive on it, right? Just with some stumbles and missteps.
Yeah.
But we'll get into that more when we talk about spoilers. We'll say the movie did look very good.
Mm-hmm.
Really well shot, really artistic.
Yes.
There were some shots that felt like they...
You usually like to say, like, whiteboard moments, and I think that that's fair.
Yeah, I think we talked about that watching the movie, because there were certain things that just felt like they were trying to find ways to insert them, like the guy getting killed in the pool, and you mentioned the shot with the glitter tears.
Yeah.
How do you describe that?
It's a Tumblr GIF moment. Yeah.
That stuff's still fun, but it just really stood out as, like, oh, man, they're really just trying hard to push these images.
Well, I think it really could have worked if there was, like, more. Like, do more.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if that stuff, maybe that's the criticism. I don't know if that stuff, like, fit well enough with the rest of the movie. It felt like it was definitely juggling, like, multiple different tones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I liked in the beginning the whole portrayal of, you know, just trying to find love, trying to find connections, doing it with the apps, which is, like, that's the thing now. We just we watched the kill count on Fresh and realized, like, we hadn't seen that in a long time. Yeah. I mean, that movie starts with, like, the exact same thing.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's something that's, like, it's so relatable now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's how we met.
That's true. I didn't even think about that for some reason.
If it weren't for a dating app, I wouldn't be sitting here right now.
That is probably true.
Don't know how else we would have met.
No. Wasn't on Tinder or anything.
No, it wasn't Tinder.
That was different.
No.
But
different app.
But yeah, I mean, the thing that we were, like, really dancing around is that this is a movie about being ghosted by an actual ghost.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. And that's the thing that I feel like it's the one sentence horror story thing that, like, why are we tiptoeing around this? Why don't we just say that's what it is?
Yeah.
Why is that considered a spoiler? It doesn't need to be a spoiler.
Yeah. I do think there were, like, two different movies happening almost, because, like, and that can be cool. There can be a twist in the middle where you shift into, you know, another lane, and that's fine. I think it was a little jarring, though, just because I was really getting into the concept of this woman being crazy and, like, stalking him.
Oh, yeah. So that was the crazy thing. I mean, you knew it had to go somewhere supernatural eventually. Maybe that was why it's kind of a twist, because they treat it as a reveal that he was dead. Because the whole thing is she goes out with this guy, has, like, this amazing connection. Then he ghosts her. And she gets fucking nuts.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Like, she gets really fucking crazy.
Yeah, no. All of those, that is crazy. Like,
maybe,
very crazy.
Hey, maybe there's some people who can relate to that part, too. I don't know. But she takes it a little too far.
I think following him home is taking it too far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And going to his job. That was when I was like, okay. But that's how she finds out that he actually died. And I don't think the movie even really goes into... Does it even go into, like, how he died?
I think they just say it was an accident, but I'm not sure. Yeah. Did he get hit by a car? Did something else happen? Like, I don't know.
That part, it's like, it doesn't matter. Like, they don't really talk about this guy before he died or anything. It's just now He seems to be this ghost who has, for some reason, infiltrated like Tinder. Because it's like if you match with him, he shows up, gives you a great night, and then disappears.
See, I don't even think it went that far. When, and it feels like it almost got there. And I feel like had they pushed that even further and like having this like ghost haunting Tinder is a lot. Like, I feel like why not just go fully into that? And I feel like there's too many times where it was like dipping its toe into different things, which is also fine. But there were some concepts I would have liked to have seen like fully come to fruition.
I agree. I think that's a good way of summarizing like our problem with it, is that it felt like it was trying to do way too much.
Yeah.
It felt like it didn't really know what it was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was focusing on so many different things. Because even that element, as soon as you start thinking about it, you're like, well, wait a minute. Like, so he's just like the perfect date you can just summon whenever you want. What's wrong with that? Like, that's pretty good. But then it's because she like becomes so obsessed with him and reveals to him that he's dead.
Yeah.
That he starts turning into this evil entity, you know?
Yeah, and then he's like abusing her. So then I don't know.
That was the other weird thing, is that once he knows that he's dead, he just suddenly turns into a fucking monster.
Yeah.
Like completely. You know, they show him in the like dead makeup and he's actually like trying to kill people.
Yeah.
Which I was like, what is with that? Like, it just felt like maybe that felt a little forced. I never really got the explanation for like why he was this evil ghost killing people.
Yeah. I'm trying to be positive. I don't want to be a downer.
Yeah. And the fact that it takes that into him just being like this abusive boyfriend, basically. And it really goes deep into that.
Yeah,
like, including
it's scary.
How she acts at work with her coworkers, how it's like affecting her everyday life, and she feels like she can't escape from it. Like it gets really scary in like a way that's maybe a little too real.
Yeah, but I also think that that's important to showcase. I think
We didn't know it was going to be that kind of movie.
No, I honestly, all I saw from this was, and maybe I should be looking into them a little bit deeper, but I saw
there was nothing out there. I tried. Yeah.
There is a poster that seemed kind of like trendy. And I was like, okay, you know, like, let's see. And it gave the appearance to me, as someone who looks at art a lot and has studied art, and not trying to be pretentious. But
well, look.
I saw the poster and I thought it looked a little bit more lighthearted than
it was. It wasn't what you thought it was.
Yeah.
I think that's the funny thing. I forgot to go into this earlier. This was a Becca pick.
Yeah.
It's funny because we kind of have very different, we come from different directions when we're picking movies.
Yeah.
Like, I think I look at, okay, what are people talking about? What is like highly rated,
mm-hmm.
you know? Because to me, it's like there's so many goddamn movies that we need to watch.
Yeah.
And picking something is so hard,
mm-hmm.
you know? And for you, it's like vibes.
Yeah.
It's like just. You just look at like the poster or something. It's because sometimes you'll be like, oh, we should watch this. And I'll look it up on Letterboxd and it's like a 1.8 or something. It's like, Becca, do you even know what this is? Like, why do you want to see this?
Now, hold on. I have my.
You've had some good records.
I
good,
have had
good stuff.
You make
good
it
picks.
Seem like I pick out shitty movies.
No. It's just I never know what I'm getting. Because, I mean, you did pick out like milk and cereal and stuff. But I think it's like you're to the fucking wild card with your picks.
I think there is like this weird element of like, oh, I have no idea what this is. I don't want to learn too much about it because I kind of want to like see what it's like.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that's how I really approached like watching older movies, is like, what is this going to do? Is this like.
Oh, I used to do that a lot when I was younger.
Yeah.
Just tune in to HBO and
just
be like, all right,
on.
Let's go.
Yeah. See what surprises me. And I think it's. As a kid doing that, it's a lot different than being an adult. I've been through a lot more.
Yeah.
I
just think it's funny because it's like, it means when you pick a movie, because I think part of what stresses me out is the idea of like wasting time, like watching some boring ass movie. And I know with you, it's either going to be like, oh, this is actually great. Like, it's a big surprise. Or it's going to be, I'm losing my mind with boredom the whole time. And I never know which it's going to be.
I mean, I think that's fair to say.
It's a wild card.
Any movie. Your taste is so impeccable that we know that we're going to be watching.
No, I vet them. And they're not still. There's times people are wrong.
Yeah.
You know? But I at least try to get like a good idea.
I just want to watch movies and have a good time.
Great. Yeah, so this, that said, this does get like very dark.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting it to get dark.
Yeah, and we, one other thing that really tripped us up was, so she has this coworker who is like perfect archetype of like creepy guy who as soon as she shows him any attention, he's like, all right, we should date, and cannot handle rejection. It's like that, it does that guy to the T. But then the next guy that comes in, we were going crazy because every time I saw, I was just like, ew, ew. Like every time he was on screen, he just felt like so fucking weird and creepy.
Yeah, I don't know. I think there was a lot of like weird ambiguity. I think there was a lot of hold on.
Ambiguity about
Stop!
What?
This character was ambiguous.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think that kind of made it hard to land like, oh, is this supposed to be a good guy? Is he like
Yeah, no, that was the problem was that like I was just like, this guy's fucking a weirdo, but she seemed to be really into it. So it was like, is he supposed to be like funny and charming? But every time we saw him, we were just like, man, I hate this guy. I don't know why. I just fucking hate this guy.
But I mean, like, I guess that also just like that does just like happen. Like,
sure. Okay.
You know, like, I don't know. I'm not going to get into people's personalities or things like that. I still wish there was a little bit more stronger like intention with some of the writing, I guess.
So yeah, that was actually, that kind of leads into how I was going to kind of wrap it up, is that it feels like it's doing some things with the story where you kind of get an idea of what they're trying to say, but it feels like, I don't know if I'm like on board with that.
Right. You know? I can't tell if I'm interpreting the message correctly. Like, I feel like,
well,
and that's on me, maybe. And I don't know.
Well, I'm not sure. I'm with you, so I don't know. Because it feels like, she's in this abusive relationship with the ghost. He winds up killing that we didn't even talk about her friend and the fiance. Like, like this weird story thread that just didn't feel like it did. We were like, what even is happening with these people?
Yeah, it was almost like a C-plot. Like, I wasn't sure, what was happening there.
But anyway, so this new guy at work who seems to be like she's kind of escaping from this relationship with him, but then he gets killed by the ghost, the abuser ghost, and turns into a new abuser ghost. And I don't know, it just winds up feeling very bleak, that it's almost like she really can't escape these abusive relationships. And then at the end, she just gets killed by the guy, her abuser, and she becomes a new ghost who's going on dates with people. And that was the thing, is like, maybe there's a way to interpret that in a like kind of comedic way, because she does feel kind of like, well, fuck, you know, at the end when she realizes.
Yeah.
You know.
But
I didn't.
I'm not really sure. Like, I mean, I guess it explains like a cycle of abuse, kind of.
Yeah.
But it doesn't like stick the landing for me.
Yeah.
Really, and it's like, obviously, women can become, I'm not fucking doing that. Just cut that out. I'm not doing that.
No, it's like, that's what I'm saying, is like, I guess that's kind of what they're saying with the ending, but it just feels like, all right, like, if you're just leaving it at that, then I don't know what to take away from it.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, it's kind of pointing something out, I guess, in a more horror kind of symbolic way, mm-hmm. or metaphorical way. But you're not actually commenting on it or anything, or leaving us in any kind of like, with any kind of hope or anything.
Yeah. It's okay.
Okay. It's okay. Yeah. So it's complicated. Yeah, I think I have complicated feelings about this movie.
Yeah.
There's another one that I don't know if we're ever going to cover on this. Do you remember that? Oh, man. It's like something radio. You remember what I'm talking about with the radio station getting, they're like kidnapped?
Oh.
We don't need to fucking talk about that.
No.
Whatever. You can go to ghostbeast.com for all their links.
You can also search for Ghost Beast Pod, and you can follow Ghost Beast on Letterboxd, where we rank everything we cover. This is a spicy one. How about Below Pulse and Above Trap?
I feel like, honestly, like here. I don't know.
That moved it to Below Infested and Above Wolfman.
Which means nothing to anybody. Okay.
But it is number 76 on our list. And you can contact us at podcast@ghostbeast.com. What are your favorite Shudder movies that people don't really talk about much?
Yeah.
Give us your wild swings, your Becca choices. Your
wild cards.
Yes, your wild cards. And you can check us out on TikTok and YouTube for like a bite-sized version of this. Bye.
Wait.
Yes?
Please, if you... Well, no, that sounds bad. If you could...
Uh-huh.
Rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts or podcasts, wherever you listen to podcasts, and leave a review.
That would be nice.
It would be nice. It helps us. It pushes us up in the algorithm some. It helps us grow.
Yep. Thank you. Bye.